You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
At the top of the hour, I spoke to the Green Party about the draft decision declining the seabed mining project for fast-track approval in the Taranaki Bight. Another voice to the party was Forrest and Bird. They are now raising the alarm over a proposed gold mine in Waihi North. This is the last project that is open to them to push for an appeal following reforms to the fast-track approval scheme last year. I spoke to regional manager for Waikato and Taranaki for Forrest and Bird, Alvesa van der Leyen, about the developments and their opinion.
I want to start us off today by talking about the draft decision to decline the application for seabed mining in South Taranaki. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Forrest and Bird are absolutely over the moon about this draft decision. We are conscious that there is the possibility that they could go to the Supreme Court, or they might come back with the conditions modifications. But at the meantime, we are all celebrating as a collective across different organisations, local iwi and communities, because this is, you know, a really, really positive outcome for the marine ecosystem. You know, a whole ecosystem, whales, reefs that don't have a voice. And so we've all worked together over the last 10 years, over 10 years, to ensure that they are protected from these really destructive seabed mining activities. So yeah, it's an awesome outcome so far. We're really grateful that the panel actually looked at the evidence that was provided by experts, but also considered the uncertainties from the application that showed that they basically at this point didn't have enough evidence to show that they could mitigate the effects of plumes on not just the whales and the korora, the little blue penguins, but also the tiny things on the reefs that live around that whole area, living forests, basically. They looked at the evidence that there was a huge risk of smothering those reefs, but also impacting the light on phytoplankton, the ability for the phytoplankton to photosynthesize. So, you know, it's really great that they took all of that into consideration, because that could have been a really huge risk of ecosystem breakdowns within that local area, but also potentially that whole wider area that is considered an internationally significant whale migration and feeding area. So yeah, that's a pretty scary thought to think that the impacts could be quite significant.
Do you know off the top of your head what kinds of whales are in the area?
I know that there's some sort of pygmy whale, but we've definitely got Maui dolphins that migrate through that whole eastern area of the North Island. You know, the monitoring of presence of whales and dolphins is quite difficult and very costly. So the evidence that was provided so far showed that there are whales and dolphins in that area. And there's a lot of different types of species of whales and dolphins that use that whole area. The ocean doesn't have fences. So there's probably a lot that we still don't know about that whole area, which, you know, I think was taken into consideration as well.
If they do push for a repeal of this decision, what will be the top of mind for Forrest and Bird?
Well, we know for a fact that we will be throwing our weight behind this continuously, and we will continue working with other groups, organisations, iwi. Groups like CASM have also been working really hard on this, so we want to, you know, acknowledge all the groups, and that we all have a shared vision to ensure that this project does not go ahead, and not just this application, but any future threats to the marine ecosystem.
All right. I want to move on now to talk about another application under the fast track approval scheme that has been the Waihi North Gold Mine. Forrest and Bird is appealing the government's decision to approve it. Could you talk a bit about that? What is at risk here?
Yeah, well, Forrest and Bird had three main concerns within our appeal. The first one is that some of the management plans under the conditions don't have much detail on how the impacts are going to be avoided or mitigated. So there's a lot of uncertainty in some of those conditions. The second is the risk of impacts to the frogs. We know that there are Archie's frogs, for instance, big talking issue over the last few years, and Whariki Rauponga. The risks to impacts on them are very high under the current conditions because the vibration levels from blasting actually provide for higher levels than the expert evidence supported. And then the last point that we highlighted was that their Wildlife Authority permit allows them to kill wildlife in general to build the infrastructure like their vents. And this permit is far too broad, so we want to see more specification under that permit so as to not, you know, sort of destroy the whole ecosystem in those smaller areas.
We've seen conversation in recent years sort of throw up ideas that these mining companies are getting more liberal approval to harm local species and protected species. Do you feel like this is a contemporary change that's been happening under this current government, or is it more that we've made advancements in this area where we are protecting our, you know, native species better, and now we're taking a step back?
We can see through a lot of the legislative changes that our environmental protections are being weakened through multiple tools, legislative tools, which is very scary. We've also seen a continuous decline in funding for Department of Conservation, and also as a knock-on effect, funding for local conservation organisations and groups as well. So it's not a good sign, it's not a good look, but, you know, on the ground, our passionate New Zealanders are still working really hard voluntarily, as well as within our funding limits, to continue protecting what we have left, but also restoring areas to provide for new ecosystems, habitats, and provide corridors between larger ecosystems. So there's a lot of good stuff happening that keeps us hopeful, and we still celebrate all small, different sized positive outcomes for our native wildlife. So as much as the weakening of environmental protections is happening, there's a lot of great people on the ground continuing the good fight for our native ecosystems and species. So we've got to maintain that balance. We've got to keep that positive outlook for our unique Indigenous ecosystems, because governments change, and that's what we continue working on, what's in front of us, but also focusing on that sustainable future for our very unique nature in New Zealand.
You spoke about, you know, reforms to regulations that are undermining or failing to protect our local species. Is there any one particular that is alarming to you?
Oh, well, I mean, the key thing in this situation with the fast track is that the government changed the ability for community organisations to be actively involved in the process, to be invited for comment. So we've now been excluded from that process, and so this appeal for the Waihi North gold mine is our last chance within this framework to participate in the process of consenting for these big projects. So yeah, that's why we're throwing all our weight behind all this and ensuring the best outcome for nature, given, you know, the restrictions that we're under.
So let's talk about that in a bit more detail. You're telling me that they have removed the ability for community groups such as Forest and Bird or many others to submit on to submit their opinion on these applications?
Yeah. So the Fast Track Amendment Bill at the end of 2025 actually included an amendment that removed the obligation to invite people for comment. And there is a very narrow, I can't remember the details off the top of my head, but there's a very, very narrow group of individuals or organisations, groups to be who are obligated to be invited for comment, and community groups have now been excluded.
So who gets to decide those invitations? Assumedly, those people would be able to decide if community groups were appropriate or not to be invited, but who makes that decision at the end of the day now?
I can't remember off the top of my head because there's, you know, you've got the convener, the panel, and then you've got the minister. And so the delegations of those responsibilities, I personally, we've got a legal team that can answer that question for you. But me, as a local advocate, I haven't been involved in all the technical details of those delegations.
Given this and given these changes and also just given the recency of the fast track approval scheme, do you feel like it's fit for purpose?
Well, it's interesting because over the years, previously under the COVID fast track process, Forest and Bird was a group that was obligated to be invited for comment, and then we became an optional group to be invited for comment, and now we're basically cut out of the process altogether. So slowly over time, and this is an example of the weakening of environmental protections and ensuring that nature has a voice in these processes, those voices have been whittled down. So from this point on, it doesn't feel like the system is fit for purpose in terms of protecting communities and nature. There's definitely a direction that this government is taking, but I would be hesitant to, you know, sort of explicitly describe that direction because it's always changing. Yeah, that's as much as I've got to say on that piece.
Well, returning to Taranaki, what was the method of approach that Forest and Bird and the groups that were opposing the decision took to stop that?
Well, it's been a very collaborative approach from the beginning, from 2016. Iwi have had a very large voice working together. The local community has been strong on the advocacy and campaigning. And so we've been sort of working with our legal team has been working quietly in the background, tautoko, as a tautoko to the other groups and organisations. So I would say, in general, it's been very collaborative. It's been very, every group has had their strengths that we've all, and resources that we've all brought to the table to ensure that all aspects have been considered. And in terms of the environment, you know, we've had lots of different types of experts provide evidence in this process, which has obviously paid off so far. So that's excellent, excellent outcome for a collaborative approach.
Do you feel like under the new scheme, there will be avenues for you to collaborate with the people who are invited to submit on these fast track applications?
I'm not too sure on that. It's quite an uncertain framework that we're now moving into. But what I can say is that Forest and Bird and other groups will continue to collaborate and advocate and continue raising awareness across the country of these projects to try and get, you know, the best outcome for nature. So however that manifests, we'll just have to see, but we're going to continue working really hard advocating for the best outcomes for nature.
That was Waikato and Taranaki Regional Conservation Manager for Forest and Bird, Alvesa van der Leyden, about the draft decision to decline seabed mining in the Taranaki Bight and Forest and Bird's appeal of the Waihi North Goldmine application and the reforms to the Fast Track Approval Scheme, which is cutting them and other community groups out of the process.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.